That was very nice to be back here, my home away from home, Gainesville and Alachua. And today is the disappearance of Sri Narahari Sarokar Thakur. And we're going to just leave a little time at the end to read about him. Anyone know what is that name Sarokar means? Sara is a word for honey. Kara means maker. He made some honey for Nityananda Prabhu one time out of water. So we're going to learn hear about that. But we are going to read from Bhagavatam first. And this, give me a second here. Narayanam namaskritya Narang chaiva narottamam Devim sarasvatim vyasam Dato jaya mudiriyet. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, we should offer our respectful obeisances unto Lord Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unto Nara Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, the translator, commentator, and our spiritual master. Nashta prayesha badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatyuttama Shloke Bhaktim Bhavati Naishtiki. By regular attendance in classes on Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering devotional service to the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious within the heart is destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. On this 28th day of November 2013 in Gainesville, Florida, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, The Cosmic Manifestation, Chapter 1, The First Step in God Realization, text number 11. Now forgive me, what do we just launch in there or do word by word? I think we can read it. We can read it. Etanni vijamananam Ichitam makato bhayam Yoginam nupadnirnitam Hare namanu kirtanam Etanni vidyamananam Ichitam makato bhayam Yoginam nupadnirnitam Hare namanu kirtanam Etanni vidyamananam Ichitam makato bhayam Yoginam nupanirnitam Hare namanu kirtanam. Etanni vidyamananam Ichitam makato bhayam Yoginam nupanirnitam Hare namanu kirtanam Etanni vidyamananam Ichitam makato bhayam Yoginam nupanirnitam Hare namanu kirtanam Etanni vidyamananam Ichitam makato bhayam Yoginam nupanirnitam Hare namanu kirtanam. Ladies? Etanni vidyamananam Ichitam makato bhayam Manu kirtanam etanni vidyamananam icchatam akrotobayam yoginam pranirnitam arunam anukirtanam. One more lady. Etanni vidyamananam icchatam akrotobayam yoginam nipanirnitam harinam anukirtanam. Word meanings? Etat, it is. Nirvidyamananam, of those who are completely free from all material desires. Itchatam, of those who are desirous of all sorts of material enjoyment. Akrota bhayam, free from all doubts and fear. Yoginam, of all who are self-satisfied. Nripa, O King. Nirnitam, decided truth. Harehi, of the Lord Sri Krishna. Nama, holy name. Anu, after someone or always. Kirtanam, chanting. Translation. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. Purport. In the previous verse, the great necessity for attaining attachment to Mukunda has been accredited. There are different types of persons who desire to attain success in different varieties of pursuits. Generally, the persons are materialists who desire to enjoy the fullest extent of material gratification. Next to them are the transcendentalists, who have attained perfect knowledge about the nature of material enjoyment and thus are aloof from such an illusory way of life. More or less, they are satisfied in themselves by self-realization. Above them are the devotees of the Lord, who neither aspire to enjoy the material world nor desire to get out of it. They are after the satisfaction of the Lord, Sri Krishna. In other words, the devotees of the Lord do not want anything on their personal account. If the Lord desires, the devotees can accept all sorts of material facilities. And if the Lord does not desire this, the devotees can leave aside all sorts of facilities, even up to the limit of salvation. Nor are they self-satisfied because they want the satisfaction of the Lord only. In this verse, Sri Shukadeva Goswami recommends the transcendental chanting of the holy name of the Lord. By offenseless chanting and hearing of the holy name of the Lord, one becomes acquainted with the transcendental form of the Lord, and then with the attributes of the Lord, and then with the transcendental nature of his pastimes, etc. Here it is mentioned that one should constantly chant the holy name of the Lord after hearing it from authorities. This means that hearing from the authorities is the first essential. Hearing of the holy name gradually promotes one to the stage of hearing about his form, about his attributes, his pastimes, and so on. And thus the necessity of the chanting of his glories develops successively. This process is recommended not only for the successful execution of devotional service, but also even for those who are materially attached. According to Sri Shukadeva Goswami, this way of attaining success is an established fact, concluded not only by him, but also by all other previous acharyas. Therefore, there is no need of further evidence. The process is recommended not only for the progressive students in different departments of ideological success, but also for those who are already successful in their achievement as fruitive workers, as philosophers, or as devotees of the Lord. Srila Jiva Goswami instructs that chanting of the holy name of the Lord should be loudly done, and it should be performed offenselessly as well, as recommended in the Padma Purana. One can deliver himself from the effects of all sins by surrendering himself unto the Lord. One can deliver himself from all offenses at the feet of the Lord by taking shelter of his holy name. But one cannot protect himself if one commits an offense at the feet of the holy name of the Lord. Such offenses are mentioned in the Padma Purana as being 10 in number. The first offense is to vilify the great devotees who have preached about the glories of the Lord. The second offense is to see the holy names of the Lord in terms of worldly distinction. The Lord is the proprietor of all the universes, and therefore he may be known in different places by different names. But that does not in any way qualify the fullness of the Lord. Qualify here meaning reduce. Any nomenclature which is meant for the Supreme Lord is as holy as the others because they are all meant for the Lord. Such holy names are as powerful as the Lord, and there is no bar for anyone in any part of the creation to chant and glorify the Lord by the particular name of the Lord as it is locally understood. They are all auspicious, and one should not distinguish such names of the Lord as material commodities. The third offense is to neglect the orders of the authorized acharyas or spiritual masters. The fourth offense is to vilify scriptures or Vedic knowledge. The fifth offense is to define the holy name of the Lord in terms of one's mundane calculation. The holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord himself, and one should understand the holy name of the Lord to be non-different from him. The sixth offense is to interpret the holy name. The Lord is not imaginary, nor is his holy name. There are persons with a poor fund of knowledge who think the Lord to be an imagination of the worshipper, and therefore think his holy name to be imaginary. Such a chanter of the name of the Lord cannot achieve the desired success in the matter of chanting the holy name. The seventh offense is to commit sins intentionally on the strength of the holy name. In the scriptures it is said that one can be liberated from the effects of all sinful actions simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. One who takes advantage of this transcendental method and continues to commit sins on the expectation of neutralizing the effects of sins by chanting the holy name of the Lord is the greatest offender at the feet of the holy name. Such an offender cannot purify himself by any recommended method of purification. In other words, one may be a sinful man before chanting the holy name of the Lord, but after taking shelter in the holy name of the Lord and becoming immune, one should strictly restrain oneself from committing sinful acts with a hope that his method of chanting the holy name will give him protection. The eighth offense is to consider the holy name of the Lord and his chanting method to be equal to some material auspicious activity. There are various kinds of good works for material benefits, but the holy name and his chanting are not mere auspicious holy services. Undoubtedly, the holy name is holy service, but he should never be utilized for such purposes. Since the holy name and the Lord are of one and the same identity, one should not try to bring the holy name into the service of mankind. The idea is that the Supreme Lord is the supreme enjoyer. He is no one's servant or order supplier. Similarly, since the holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord, one should not try to utilize the holy name for one's personal service. The ninth offense is to instruct those who are not interested in chanting the holy name of the Lord about the transcendental nature of the holy name. If such instruction is imparted to an unwilling audience, the act is considered to be an offense at the feet of the holy name. The tenth offense is to become uninterested in the holy name of the Lord even after hearing of the transcendental nature of the holy name. The effect of chanting the holy name of the Lord is perceived by the chanter as liberation from the conception of false egoism. False egoism is exhibited by thinking oneself to be the enjoyer of the world and thinking everything in the world to be meant for the enjoyment of oneself only. Excuse me. The whole materialistic world is moving under such false egoism of I and mine, but the factual effect of chanting the holy name is to become free from such misconceptions. Om jnana timarandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshu unmiditam mena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master Srila Prabhupada opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. So I was asked to speak on this verse because this is the Kirtan Mela time, Thanksgiving. Tomorrow will be 12 hours of Kirtan. Next day, another 12 hours of Kirtan. We've already had a lot of Kirtan last night in the temple, some of you experienced. So this verse, of course, it's important to understand the verse in context. This is the very beginning of the second canto, this first chapter. And Shukadeva Goswami, the Bhagavatam kind of really begins again here. You notice how the second canto begins again with Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya? So the first canto is kind of an introduction to, in some ways. There's many important instructions there, but it tells us how and why the Bhagavatam came to be written and what the main topic of the Bhagavatam is. So second canto is Shukadeva is beginning to answer questions from Maharaj Pariksit. And the first question was, how can one be free of fear at the time of death? He's got 7 days to live. And he's asking also on our behalf, what should one think of? What should one do? What should one hear and chant? He's asking at the end of the first canto. So the first canto begins with praise of that question. Vadiyanishate prashna kuto loke tangnipa. He says it's improved by everybody, all great souls, because the answer to that question is beneficial not only for the person who asked it, but for all who hear. And so then he begins to give a very concise explanation of how material life is self-defeating and futile. And basically he's saying that ordinary people, materialists, they're just spending their day trying to make money so that on the weekend they can shop. He used the kutumba badaneinava in order to support the family. Prabhupada uses that in one lecture on this verse. And at night, either sleeping, wasting too much time sleeping or having sex, and they think that their bodies and their family, their bank account, these soldiers will defend them against the threefold miseries, against the difficulties of this world. Dehapatta kalatari shratma sainyeshvasatvapi. Tesham pamatto nidanam pashyan apinapashyati. Although everyone can see, it's not a great mystery that eventually these soldiers fail you. You know, your father has died, your grandfather has died. Money comes and goes, insurance. You know, that's not going to help you ultimately. In other words, it's hopeless. But even though seeing that, they don't see. Pashyanapi na pashyati. This is a nice phrase because people they see in front of them, but they don't really understand. So therefore, he says, Tasmat bharata sarvatma bhagavan ishvaro hari shrotavya kritavyascha smartavya chechita bayam. Ichita bayam. If you want fearlessness at the time of death, then here's what you need to do, O king. Hear about, chant about, and remember the Supreme Personality of God. And he makes he gives four different designations for God. Sarvatma, the super soul, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full in six opulence, Ishvara, the Supreme Controller, and Hari, the Supreme Lord who takes away all everything inauspicious and ultimately takes away our heart. So, how is one to do that? This is a subsequent verse, and this is the best way to do it, is to chant the holy name. It doesn't matter who you are. The point of this one of the points of this verse is that he covers different ground. It kind of calls to mind another verse in the second canto. Akama sarvakamo va moksha kama hudaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. After giving a whole list of gods and goddesses that you can worship for different material things, Shukadeva says, but one who is really intelligent, udaradi, he won't worship any of these gods, you know? Whether you want all kinds of things, sarvakama, or you don't want anything in this world, or you want liberation, mokshakama, someone who's intelligent will render intense devotional service unto the Supreme Lord. Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. So similarly, whether one has just walked off the street, right, or he hasn't even walked off the street, he's on the street, right? On Saturday we're going to do more Harinam. Very, very fortunate to have two home games in a row while I'm here, so I can go to chance of the 40,000 fans, right, who stream by into the stadium. So these people are full of all kinds of material desires, but still we're giving them the holy name, even though they don't know exactly what we're doing or whatever. The holy name is entering into their ear. You know, they're getting a chance. We'll give them a little pamphlet somehow. Become interested. So. If one is intelligent, then whether you're full of all material desires or you're nirvijamana means you're actually liberated, you know, from material desires. You're in that liberated state, Brahma-Bhuta state. Or Akato Bayam means free from all doubts and fear. These are the devotees. Yeah, you should still chant. Everybody could chant. This the chanting of the holy name is the universal Yuga Dharma, the practice for this age. And it's all auspicious for everybody. Now, how in Vaikuntha, they're chanting the holy name. They don't stop. Goloka Vrindavan, they're chanting the holy name. You know, in the Madhya Lila, there's a description of these nine symptoms of bhava. One of them is a great eagerness to chant the holy name. And they give an example. You know who the example is? Srimati Radharani. A very beautiful verse. Rodana bindu madanda syandam dugandi viraja govinda tavamadadasura kandi gayati nama avaling bala. Someone is speaking to Krishna and telling him how Radharani is chanting. This is an example of, you know, eagerness to chant. So what it means is, my dear Krishna, this young girl Radharani, the tears are dropping from her lotus eyes like drops of nectar as she chants your names, different names in a sweet voice. So the chanting never ends. Where is it? You know, I can't give you chapter and verse, but in the Madhya Lila, there's a description of the nine symptoms of ecstasy, you know, and one of them is eagerness to chant. And they give example verses for each, you know, symptom. Where does that leave us? So we're chanting. I assume everyone is this room is chanting Hare Krishna, hopefully 16 rounds, a lot of kirtan. But we want to progress in this chanting. The chanting is a complete process. Purnak Shuddha Nitya Mukto. And but as described in this purport so nicely, there are 10 offenses. If we're infested with the 10 offenses in the holy name, then we should not stop chanting, but the progress will be very slow. And if we are not careful, these offenses may chop away at our creeper. And what does that mean? It means that the desire to chant, the interest in chanting, can wane, especially if you offend devotees. This is the maha offense. Especially Venda Mahabhagavat, you know, that's the mad elephant offense. But any devotees, new devotees, you know, bhaktas, bhaktins, anyone, if you have a critical mentality like that, then that will cut into your desire to chant or your appreciation of chanting. So we have to be very careful to avoid these offenses. So I'd like to go through them quickly and discuss. So that's the first offense of the blaspheming devotee who have dedicated their lives to the propagation of the holy names of the Lord. And the Prabhupada says, if one, you know, commits all kinds of sins, they can be eradicated by chanting. But if you start offending the holy name, then one cannot protect himself if one commits an offense at the feet of the holy name. The holy name has feet. Why? Because it's Krishna. As it said in the first verse of the Namashtaka, I highly recommend this Namashtaka, by the way. We know the Shikshastaka, of course, very essential. Everyone should know the Shikshastaka, all about the chanting, progressive chanting of that you can experience in chanting the holy name. But there's also so many other glorifications of the name. And this Namashtaka by Rupa Goswami is included in his Stavamala. There's at least one verse that's quoted in Prabhupada's books, and it talks about the feet of the name. Nikala Shruti Mauli Ratnamala Duti Nirajita Pada Pankajanta Ai Mukta Kalaira Pasimanam Paditastvam Harinama Sankshriyami. So he's saying that all of the jewels of the Vedas, which are understood to be the Upanishads, the crown jewels, Shruti Mauli Ratnamala, the effulgent semidant is offering aratik, just like the Nirajita means, just like we do a big lamp, you know, to the tips of the toes of the holy name. Oh, holy name, you're glorified by all the great munis. I take complete shelter of you. There's so many wonderful verses. I don't know if we have time to go through some of them. But we should always remember that. This is very important, that the holy name is Krishna. Krishna has invested all his potencies in the holy name, and they're non-different. So the holy name is a person. If you praise the holy name, then you'll find your attraction to the holy name increasing, because Krishna from within is giving you that attraction. If you neglect the holy name, or the devotees who are chanting the holy name, or you insult them, then that attraction to the holy name wanes, because it's coming from Krishna. It's personal. So the next one is all about. Remember that what do we chant? I don't know if you do it every morning. To consider the names of the demigods, such as Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. Now this is a very interesting. The Sanskrit has several meanings, ways of understanding it, and I just want to run through that really quickly because there's actually four different meanings that come out of the Sanskrit. So Shivasya Shri Namni is the way it starts. I forget all the Sanskrit, but Shivasya there can mean either auspicious, the auspicious name of Krishna, or it can mean the name of Shiva. And then a little later it says Diyabhinnam. Diyabhinnam. Now Diyabhinnam, Diya means having the mentality, and Bhinnam means separate. But the way the two words come together, it could also mean Abhinnam. You know the way the Sandhi works? Sandhi means where two words meet. So you don't know. You have to say it could be either way. Maybe it has meet. It can be Diya Abhinnam or Diya Bhinnam. And both are mentioned. So consider the name, Shivasya means the name of Shiva. Because it mentions in the books that the name of Shiva, Brahma, like that. So to consider them to be Abhinnam with Vishnu means that there's no difference. You can chant the name of Shiva, you can chant the name of Varuna or Surya, whatever, Kali. No, you get the same place. This is a great offense, obviously, we can understand. Because Krishna is supreme, and these are all servants of Krishna. You don't go to the same place. You don't go to the, if you go south on 441, you don't go to get to the same place, you go north on 441. So you have to first understand that. Now, it's also an offense to consider that their bhinna means that they're separate, meaning that, oh, I'll chant the name of Vishnu to get one thing, but then I've got to cover my bases, so I'll also chant the name of Shiva for some auspiciousness. And don't forget Bhumi. You want to have successful crops, you better chant Bhumi. You understand? So consider that they're completely one is an offense, and consider that they're separate. And so with separate powers is an offense. It's slightly different. That's why I say the same. What is it? How does it go? Equal to or independent of. You see? Now, there's a third meaning that's very essential. Prabhupada actually mentioned it here in the purport. And that is that, not that this is the name of Shiva, but this is the auspicious name of Vishnu. Shivasya can be auspicious. So to consider the name of Vishnu or Krishna to be bhinna, to be separate from Krishna. In other words, they're one. They're equal. To consider that there's a name, just like with us, our name is not us. Our body isn't us, you know. But with Krishna, his name, his form, his qualities, everything is Krishna because he's absolute. So remember, when we're chanting, this is Krishna. Krishna has allowed me to associate with him, you know, in this way, and that brings up the auspicious day. That today is just a Thanksgiving, and this is an attitude that you can have while chanting, you know, the sense of thankfulness, of gratitude that Krishna is that my spiritual master Krishna is allowing me to chant his name. It is a rare benediction. How many people are chanting the name here in Gainesville, you know, seriously? Maybe a couple hundred. Of course, we live near Alachua. That's okay. But generally speaking, it's like, you know, winning 100 lotteries. So we should really, it's better than that. So we should, transcendental lottery. So we should be thankful. We should be thankful that every time we sit down to do japa, I'm so fortunate that Krishna has given me the inspiration, the place, the context, the ability to actually chant his name and associate with him through his name. So that's also an offense to forget that the name is not different from Krishna. That's why you have a mantra card. You don't put it on the floor. You honor that. Everything's sacred, you know. So that's the second offense. It's very rich. There's three important meanings there. And then the third one is, how do we do the third one? Is that to disobey the order of the spiritual master? Now, you know, that's a big one. It's almost like, well, that's all-encompassing, you know, when you think about it. And Prabhupada once said, this is an offense. It's an offense to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. And so, therefore, if we want to progress in devotional service, we have to understand what those orders are. You know, and they're nothing but really what's in the Shastra. So really to become serious in our chanting and hoping to progress to the point of prema bhakti and chanting completely purely, then we have to learn those instructions. We have to study regularly here and try to imbibe all those instructions and act on them. And that will be, pleasing to Krishna, and we'll be avoiding this third offense. Fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literatures or any literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada has given us the creme de la creme of the Vedas, you know, Vedic literature, in the form of the Bhagavatam, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar Devotion, and other books. And there are other books now that have come out, Bhakti Samhita Sindhu, you know, Prabhupada gave us Nectar of Devotion. But we have, you know, books like that, the Bihad Bhagavatamrita, which Prabhupada said, you know, you may not know this, he said in a purport in the Adi Lila, if one wants to understand Krishna, if one wants to understand Krishna, they should read Bihad Bhagavatamrita. So that was the first book they chose to translate. No doubt about that one. So we should never disregard these books. We should respect them by, you know, we may not be able to read them all the time, they're so vast, but regular study and revering them and never disregarding them. The fifth offense is to give some mundane interpretation on the holy name. Now this is a great danger today, you know, and because there's all kinds of chanting going on. Hare Krishna is very popular, you know. And people, without exposure to Prabhupada's parampara instruction, the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's easy to think, oh, you know, this is a great way to, get high, practically. You know, the holy name is so powerful. It's a great way to entertain, be entertained. You know, it goes nicely with the dancing that we're doing, whatever ideas people have. The impersonal think it's a good way to become liberated. You know, that's not the purpose of the holy name. The purpose of the holy name really is to please Krishna, the chanting, you know, ultimately. And to attain pure chanting so that we experience prema bhakti. That's the real goal of the chanting, and we should never forget that. So don't listen to mundane, interpretations. This also includes Sanatana Goswami's injunction, don't listen to, you know, pure sounds, Vaishnava Mukodginam Putam Harikatamitam. Harikata, the purest Harikata, is the chanting of the holy name. Don't listen to it coming from the mouth of a non-Vaishnav. Although it may seem like the same thing, you know, it's actually like milk touched by the lips of a serpent. It seems good, it tastes good, but it has a poison effect. So that's a very important injunction these days, because there's a lot of chanting going on, very musical, being recorded, but we should be very chaste and listen to the chanting coming from devotees, especially pure devotees. Let's see, the next was six. What is it, six? Imagination. The imaginations. So that's easy to, you know, our mundane mentality. The praise of the holy name is amazing. You know, even chanting one holy name once, you know, eliminates more sins than you can commit. Ang hak sang hadatake lang, there's this beautiful verse in the Antilila describing how the holy name is, you know, chanted once, even somewhat purely, namabas, you know, is not completely pure. Completely eradicates sin, just like the sun rising eradicates all the darkness in the sky. You know, so in context, if you go to India, people perform so much severe austerities. Just think of the Kumbh Mela. People that go to the Kumbh Mela by the millions. This year, like we just had one a few years ago, I think, or yet last year, 30 million. It was like a new record. 30 million people. You know, at great effort, they come there, they set up, and then they have to build like a temporary city, all to get liberation. To get liberation, not to get prema, to get liberation. Bathe at the right time in the right place. It's freezing cold, you know. So devotees know, well, wait a minute, just chant Hare Krishna, you get liberation, right? This is why it was so controversial, and it was Haridas Thakur, when he was speaking with the Raghunath Das's uncle and his parents, they had a whole congregation glorifying the holy name, and he was saying this, And one of the smarter Brahmins there, who was employed as a tax collector, he was offended, you know, because there's so much effort put into trying to get liberation. And you're saying just by chanting Hare Krishna? It can't be true. If it's not true, I'll cut off your nose, he said to Hare. So instead of that, they kicked him out. You know, you're fired, you know. Great offense. So, but it's true. And if you think, oh, that can't be true. That's an imagination. That's a great offense. The holy name is you know, like the most merciful manifestation of Krishna. Nam nam akari bahudani disarva shakti statrapita niyamitak smaranena kala. Niyamitak smaranena kala means there's no hard and fast rule. Even we can chant. We're not eligible to chant the Vedas. Try nashuddhi gochara, isn't it? It says that these Vedas, this is one of the reasons that Vyasadeva wrote the Mahabharata. Because the Shudras, we're all born Shudras, or in those, you know, they say very strict women and so forth, they couldn't chant the Vedas. So what are they going to do? How are they going to progress? All right, we'll write the Mahabharata. They love stories, right? And in the middle of those stories, we'll put the Bhagavad Gita, you know. Just make the pill, you know, sweet with the story. But the same mercy is there with the holy name. There's no restriction. You know, anybody, any place, any time can chant Hare Krishna. So to think that that's an imagination, that the holy name is the most valuable thing, more than a Chintamani gem, you know, that's an offense. We should be enthralled with all of these descriptions of the glories of the holy name, and they should inspire us. You know, like the several verses say how sweet the holy name is. You know, madhura madhura metan mangalam mangalanam. You know, sakala nigama valli satpalam chitswarupam. The Prabhupada quote this verse. Sakad apipadigitam shadaya heliyava bhugavadanada matram tadiyat Krishna nama. Of sweet things, it's the sweetest you will taste at any time. Of things that bring good fortune, it's the perfect paradigm. Of all the Vedic writings, it's the transcendental fruit, the very form of spirit, unalloyed and absolute. When uttered even once with faith, or uttered once with none, from birth and death it surely will deliver anyone. And in the end it brings pure love for Krishna, life's true aim. So cast away all doubt and chant Sri Krishna's holy name. Now we may say, sweet? Well, okay, I know it's supposed to be sweet, and sometimes it's sweet, but sometimes, you know, I fall asleep, I can't finish my... Where is that sweetness? I mean, if we really tasted it that sweet, would we want to stop chanting? It's just like, you know, if you really, it's a nice sweet, you know, like gulab jamuns when they're really made perfectly, you know, are totally addictive. This is why, you know, Prabhupada always had a bucket of gulab jamuns in the early days. When anyone's feeling a little, you know, depressed or distressed, okay, take a few Iskcon bullets, you know, and get going again. So, but the point is, you know that, you know, there's a limit to how many gulab jamuns you can eat. You know, you just can't eat anymore, you'll get sick like that. But suppose you had this, something even sweeter than a gulab jamun that you could take unlimited. Why would you ever stop? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Tunde tandamani the ting. Rupa Goswami says, you know, why do I have just one mouth? When I chant Hare Krishna, I want to have millions of mouths so I can taste His holy name. You see? So what is it about these individuals who are saying these things and experiencing these things that's different from us? It's described. Rupa Goswami describes, Upadeshamrita, right? Syat Krishna Nama, Chaditari Satapya Vidya Pitopatapadasarasin Narochikanu. That by the bile of, or the disease of ignorance, the jaundice, right? Then in jaundice, everything sweet tastes bitter. So we're so, by the ignorance, by we've cultivated for millions of lifetimes, now this sweet holy name, there's a little sweetness there, but sometimes it's an austerity to chant, you know. But he says in the same verse, simply by chanting nicely every day, you cure that disease of ignorance, and then the holy name and form and qualities and pastimes and service of Krishna tastes sweeter than anything. In other words, it's just flowing bliss, you know. That's where we want to get to. So we have to have faith that to get to that place. So one of the ways, you know, of doing that is to avoid these offenses. It's not an imagination, you know. All right, eight is the unfaithful. Oh, seven, the sinful activities. Yes, this is a very dangerous offense. Because, as we read and we know, you know, by chanting Hare Krishna, you get free from sins. You know, so much of Vedic culture is involved in this idea. You know, I want to perform Dharma. I want to be Dharmic because then I'll avoid sins and I'll avoid suffering. Right? And that's basically a good idea. So then I hear that, okay, just by chanting the holy name one time, I get free from all these sins. Hey, get out of jail free card. I'll do anything I want throughout the day, and in the evening I'll say Hare Krishna. And then, boom, you know, I'm ready to go the next day. I got the best of everything. It doesn't work like that. Prabhupada says, you know, Krishna is the greatest cheater. You try to cheat Krishna, he'll cheat you. You know, better. We've seen it. So, as Prabhupada says, that's the greatest offense, you know. And the reason is we're trying to bring the holy name into our service. We always have to remember we're serving the holy name. You know, we're not meant to be masters of the holy name. It's like making Krishna an order supplier. So how do we serve the holy name? Anukirtanam. This anukirtanam is an important word. You know, what does it say here? After someone, in other words, following in the mood and the way of those who are chanting purely. Not just that, you know, now we learned something about the holy name, we can chant, but actually to enter into the holy name in the mood of the pure devotees. And always also, not just once or twice. What will happen if you try to engage in that name is that you lose respect for the holy name entirely, you know, and you won't chant that holy name. Krishna won't let you. Remember, I began this whole thing by saying we're allowed to chant the holy name. You'll come up with the idea, I don't need to chant. You know, forget about it. You will, you know, he'll make you forget, and you won't be relieved from your sins. So let's not get into that mentality. We can't sin intentionally with the mentality, oh, that's okay. I'll chant tomorrow and it'll be okay. You know, that we'll certainly never get, you know, Baba and Prema out of that kind of holy name. And what'll happen is we'll lose our taste entirely. We won't be able to associate with devotees. And then 8. Okay, so to equate this sankirtan, chanting the holy name, with some ashvamedha sacrifices, it said that to consider the chanting of one holy name equal with an ashvamedha sacrifice is a super offense. You know, ashvamedha sacrifice, big deal. You know, they performed them in order to get free of sins and go to the heavenly planets. But the chanting of Hare Krishna is far beyond that, and it's a whole different context. You're not even doing it for that motive. Ultimately, our motive only should be to please Krishna and to experience prema. That's the, you know, the actual. Nadanang, najanang, nasundarim. These things are all prayed to by these material sacrifices. The whole Karmakanda section, huge section. Rig Veda is full of them. You know, all kinds of prayers to Indra and Agni, right? So, chanting is categorically different from that. It's not meant for that motive. So generally we don't have too much of that because we're not steeped in the Vedic culture where that's, you know, prominent, but we should avoid it. And 9th is to preach to the faithless, right? This is the old, you know, pearls before swine thing that's even in the Bible. We can ask everyone to chant Hare Krishna, right? We give out mantra cards or, you know, literature that says chant Hare Krishna. And we can even give a speech. Please, everyone, you know, join us in this, you know. But to try to, you know, engage someone in describing the inner, you know, esoteric meanings of the holy name, you know, when they're not interested, this is an offense. And we should avoid that. And then, of course, you know, to maintain material attachments, even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. And then it's also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. So there's kind of a coda offense there. So this is a big one. You know, we maintain material attachments. The chanting of the holy name, when properly done, removes those material attachments. You know? This is the only way that we can even begin to hope to practice the four regulative principles, is that you get the spiritual strength from Krishna, you know, from that attraction to Krishna, that you can restrain yourself from those things. And ultimately, even the desire goes. Just think of intoxication. I can say with all sincerity that, you know, before I joined in 1973, like a child of the 60s, I had attraction for marijuana, luckily not much harder drugs. You know, that was part of my life. But after chanting and getting involved, that completely left. I haven't even thought that that's something I might want to do. You know, it's not even a flickering of a thought. You know, and similarly, all the other things, you know, the other four, right, that can also become not even an issue anymore. You know, it's not that you're gritting your teeth and following those four regular principles. So, but at the same time, there are other desires. There's other things, you know, subtler things, desire for fame, desire for praise, all kinds of things that are also attachments that need to be given up. And if we maintain those, we'll find those impede our progress in devotional service. So that's an offense to even after hearing so many things. And then a big one is not be attentive. We're trying, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said that this is the root of all the other offenses, you know? Because if you're really absorbed in chanting the holy name, then you're experiencing the nectar of the name. And these other things don't even come up. Offend the other devotees. I want to serve the other devotees. You appreciate, oh, everyone's chanting. This is one thing great about a kirtan, you know. I disagree with this process, with this practice of lowering the lights so you can't see anybody. You want to see the other devotees. They're experiencing the holy name. That inspires you, you know. You appreciate. So what's the question of offending? You see, the offending is totally on the false ego platform. But here, the kirtan mitigates nourishes really relationships between devotees. So, oh boy, we're getting over time. So this is so we should strive to be attentive and hear with great attention. This is the practice, you know, from wherever and whatever the mind wanders, Krishna says in 6th chapter, bring it back under the control of the self. So this is real sadhana. And therefore chanting japa, you know, at the proper time, in the proper mentality, get enough sleep, don't eat too much the night before, watch your conscious was the night before, and then, you know, doing and the whole morning program, that helps you to focus on the holy name. And it's a conscious effort sometimes to bring the mind back to the holy name. And the more that we can do that, the more we'll experience the nectar of the name and we'll advance in devotional service. So it's kind of a late. Are there any quick questions or comments? Yes, Maharaji.
You said we don't instruct the faithless about the inner meanings of the holy name. Can you give a definition of the inner meanings of the holy name? Because we say a lot about the holy name. If somebody is a little bit interested, right, then we try to give them more information. We give them more books.
Yeah, the key is that you said are a little interested. In other words, someone who shows some interest, then you can. But faithless means someone who's really doesn't have an interest. You know that Adhau Shraddhata Daksaru Sangha, that famous ladder from faith to love that Rupa Goswami gives. Prabhupada talks about that. That in that context, Shraddha means preliminary interest, some preliminary interest. So we have to gauge what people are ready for. I was really thinking on the street. You know, if you stop a kirtan and then you make an announcement, you know, that's bona fide. Prabhupada even gave some sample announcements, you know, that you can make. I could share those with you, yeah. What you should cover in such an announcement. But, you know, what you shouldn't tell them, you know, is certainly that this is, you know, this holy name is God. You know, this is your God. Because most people say, what the heck is that? You know, even we can't understand it. You know, oftentimes they say, this is one of the names, you know, Allah, Jehovah, this is Krishna. You know, we're chanting the name of the same God. This name is, it'll make you happy. I mean, we would go out on where we went in San Diego downtown. You know, oftentimes it's just a lot of people trying to enjoy themselves. Said, look, you want to really be happy? Try this chanting. Hare Krishna. And then somebody says, Hare Krishna. You know, you got him to chant. You know, this is the level at which really you should do it to the general person. But as far as giving things out, you know, you can give out that reservoir of pleasure where Prabhupada talks about the holy name at the beginning, right? So that's not the same idea, because we find some of those pamphlets, even books, discarded. We know that not all going to be read. So Prabhupada authorized that. That's not an offense against the holy name. But it's when you're interacting with somebody and there's definite opposition and you're trying to give them stuff that's way beyond them. That's what that's about. Yeah. Someone else? Yes, Prabhu, in the back. Yeah, good.
You were saying how to be inattentive while chanting is an offense.
Yeah.
And so I had a friend once, and he said that he would chant 16 rounds attentively, and then he would chant another 16 rounds while doing something else, like watching movies or something. So I could really think, is it better not to chant another 16 rounds?
No, it's better not to watch the movies.
But he was saying that he wants to watch a movie, so his mother told him, if you're going to watch movies, then chant while you're doing it. So I couldn't figure out, is that a good thing or not? Because he's being inattentive. So is that an offense?
It is an offense, but I would say it's probably more an offense to just forget about the holy name entirely and get absorbed in the movie, at least if he's chanting, In other words, there's degrees of offense, That's an offense, and you're not going to get love of God by chanting that way. And I would question when he says, I chanted 16 rounds attentively. How attentively were those 16 rounds? He was probably thinking of some of those scenes from the movie he saw the last time. Because that's what happens. You can't, your ability to chant attentively is affected by everything else you do. Haven't we experienced that? So it's not the best idea. You should try to give up that practice as soon as possible. Yes? Hare Krishna. All right, I have to go in a few minutes. I have an appointment at 9:15 back in Lachua Way, but we can go for a few more minutes. I do want to read a little bit about Narahari Sarakar. Go ahead, Prabhu. Right.
Does that apply equally to Diksha gurus as well as Siksha?
I would think the question would be the other way around.
Yeah.
Does it apply as well to Siksha? It certainly applies to Diksha gurus. what this offense says, it's interesting, is guru avagya. Now, avagya is the same word we find, avajananti mamudha manushim. I don't know if you know that verse in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, the fools deride me. They ride me when I appear in human form. So it means to disrespect. But Prabhupada translated here as to disobey the orders. So the idea is that there are levels of respect. I mean, a person walks in the temple, or he doesn't know anything, just bow down to Prabhupada or, any exalted soul, that's a sign of respect. But more respect and more devotion is to hear submissively and carry out the orders. That's the greatest respect you can show. So to the degree that we're doing that, that we're actually making an effort to hear and follow and respect and worship the gurus, as you say, the gurus, we'll find that our taste for the name is nourished, and we're not committing that offense. So I saw this. Well, this is a vast field, because I'm obeying 1, 2, 3, and 4, but 5 I have a problem with, In other words, it's hard to obey all the orders and all the instructions if we'd practically be pure devotees, right? So it's a work in progress, But we should understand that the more that we do follow those instructions, the closer we'll feel, and it's on a personal level, we'll get more mercy from Krishna through the spiritual masters. And that mercy will manifest in our attraction, one of the ways it manifests, in our attraction for the holy name and enthusiasm for all services that emanate from that chanting of the holy name. See how it works? It's a science, actually. Okay, if there are any others, I'm going to just read really quick about Narahari Sarkar. This is pretty ecstatic. I didn't really know much about him. So this is from the Samadhi's book by Mahanadi Swami. Before meeting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so he was a contemporary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Before meeting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Narahari had written many Sanskrit and Bengali songs about the Braj Ras, Well, the Vrindavan pastimes of Radha Giridhari, Radha Krishna. Later, he and Gadadhar Pandit always stayed with Lord Chaitanya. Narahari used to please the Lord by waving a chamara or peacock fan. You know that song? That's part of the Gaura Arti. Srila Thakur Bhaktivinoda's Gaura Arti song glorifies this. Narahari Adi Kori Chamara Dulai. That's part of the song. That's the Narahari song. Narahari's Sarakar's family was the pride of the Vaishnavas. By their influence, all the people in Sri Kunda became Vaishnavas. The entire village turned into a branch of the desire tree of love of God. It's mentioned in Adi Leela, where he's talking about the different branches of the Lord Chaitanya tree. Since the time of Lord Gaurachandra, Sri Kunda has been a preaching center for Gaudiya Vaishnavism. One day, Sri Nityananda Prabhu came to Sri Kunda and asked Narahari, "All right, we know who you are. So where's the honey?" By his mystic power, Narahari turned a pot of water into super sweet honey for the Lord's pleasure. So this is the Sarakar. Kara means a maker. Sara is one of the words that means honey. He made honey. It's a Sarakar. Yeah. No, that, I looked it up. That's, you know, it's closely aligned. That's the word Sara with a long A. This is Sara. Sarakar. Yes. Which one of them means is liquid or honey. I did the research this morning. Now, Narahari serves Lord Shyamasunda in Brajalila as Madhumati, a pranasaki who supplies mouth-watering honey for Radha Dharmadhar. So he said, "So Nityananda, we know who you are. You're actually Madhumati, so give us some honey." Some honey, he says. For Radha Dharmadhar and their dear ones. So Narahari Sakara's very being was saturated with Radha Krishna prema. No one can fathom the depth of his devotion and pure love for Radha and Krishna. In Braja, he is Radha's dear Sakhi Madhumati, as mentioned. In Gauranga Leela, he's Narahari. Narahari Sakara's books include Pada Kalpataru and Krishna Bhajanamrita. And they include wonderful intimate songs praising Lord Gauranga and Nityananda Prabhu. In Sri Krishna Bhajanamrita, I haven't seen this. Has anyone seen a translation of this? There's another book by Vishwanath Chakravarti with a similar title, but this one hasn't been translated as far as I know. In this Krishna Bhajanamritam, Narahari teaches how to worship Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. Sri Lochandas Thakur and many others were disciples of Narahari Sakar. So this is Samadhi's in Radhika. So very interesting about Narahari Sakar. Yes, Prabhu. You know, I'm not so up on that. Does anyone recall? That's Narottam. I think Narottam. I'm sorry, I don't know that. No, that was definitely Narottam. Yeah. Okay, if there's no further discussion, I'll give you a couple of my latest poems. Oh, you have something? No? So this was one that unfortunately the flow of poetry is kind of backed up. There's only a few little trickles coming out. Hopefully, some more stuff will come soon, and get inspired by Kalakanta Babu, who he produces an ocean of books of poetry. But here's a little one. Oh, Hari Bol, from Tirthapuram, Hari Krishna. He says this is from the Stavamala. It says Urari Kritamurari Dutabangam. Navajada dadakidanola sadangam, yuvati vidayatata madanatadangam, panamati yamanta tatakatadangam. It says, his flute emanates entrancing sounds. His flute emanates entrancing sounds for the cowherd girls whose love abounds for the clever cloud complexioned lord who's dancing upon the Kalindi shore. It's a nice meditation. This Sanskrit is from the Mukunda Muktavali. This is the first work that Kushikrata translated in the Stavamala back in 1978. I was living next to him, and he was translating these verses, and I was saying, "Kusha, this is nectar. Keep on going, you know, keep on going." And he did, and he eventually finished that whole Stavamala just before I left L.A. And he gave it to me. And in those days, there was no computers or anything; it was all bound up in, you know, Xerox copies. So there's another one in that same series that says. Chikudukadambata chadashikandam, bala vineja the bada shachikandam, His hair is adorned with a peacock plume. Oh yeah, his hair is adorned with a peacock plume. His forehead conquers the best half moon. His jasmine bud-like teeth. This is common. His jasmine bud-like teeth glow white. May Krishna fill your heart with light. Yesterday I was sharing with Madhava. You know, I was maybe thinking he would incorporate it into some of his kirtan. In the beginning, sometimes he gives a little, you know, something. So there's this wonderful Kevalashtika. Some of you have heard this before. This Kevalashtika by Anonymous. They don't know who wrote it. But Prabhupada's godbrother, Kinchana Krishna's Babaji, would sometimes chant some of these verses. You know, he would do kirtan and then stop and chant a few verses, then more kirtan. This is a way of... So this is a beautiful poem. I'll just give it to you quickly, then I have to leave. It says, Madaram madarebhyopi mangalebhyopi mangalam bhavanam bhavanebhyopi harirnamayiva kevalam. That line from the Brihad Bhagavatam sloka, you know, harirnama, he incorporated that as the chorus. So I'll just give the English. It says, of sweet things, it's the sweetest you will taste at any time. Of things that bring good fortune, it's the perfect paradigm. Of things that purify, it purifies most powerfully. The holy name of Shri Hari is surely all that be. From Brahma's realm atop the sky down to the lowly grass, illusion reigns in Maya Devi's treacherous morass. The truth, the only truth, the name of Shri Hari. The holy name of Shri Hari is surely all that be. He's the guru, he's the father, he's the friend most true. And she's the real mother who most kindly teaches you to always chant and hear the holy name of Shri Hari. The holy name of Shri Hari is surely all that be. Remember that our final breath may come at any time, no matter if we're old and sick or in our youthful prime. So young and old alike should chant the name incessantly. The holy name of Shri Hari is surely all that be. Lord Shri Hari forever dwells wherever devotees, whose hearts are fixed on him and free of all impurities, uplift their voices high and sing his name in ecstasy. The holy name of Shri Hari is surely all that be. Alas, what sorrow, what great pain, the worst calamity for people to forget the holy name of Shri Hari. Although the name's a priceless gem, mere broken glass they see. The holy name of Shri Hari is surely all that be. Just fill your ears, just fill them with the name of Shri Hari. Just chant the name with all sincerity. Just sing the name, just sing the holy name eternally. The holy name of Shri Hari is surely all that be. It makes this world appear like bits of straw upon the ground. Resplendently it reigns supreme. Divinity and sound is filled with transcendental bliss and peerless purity. The holy name of Shri Hari is surely all that be. Inspired to glorify the holy name of Shri Hari, a certain sage composed this hymn in Sanskrit poetry. I pray that those who hear this lowly version made by me will chant the holy name of Shri Hari in ecstasy. Gaur Premanandi. Sorry, does it? I know many of you have probably heard that many times, but just like the holy name, it's ever fresh.
Thank you very much. We'll see you next Monday, right?
Yes, that's my next engagement.